Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guests this hour are very funny and witty, and they're married, and they've been married for a long time. Lo and behold, they're the authors of You Say Tomato and I Say Shut Up, A Love Story. And actually, this is going to be in Milwaukee, a play based on their work, and they're also actors, but other actors are doing their show, is going to be tomorrow's Thursday, right? Tomorrow at the Marcus Center, and so you'll maybe want to see that show. The authors, Annabelle Gurwitch is one of the authors. She's the wife of the duo here. She's an actress and a writer. She gained a following during her years co-hosting dinner and a movie on TBS, and she has turned her experience, I love this one, of being canned by Woody Allen, never go see his film, into a book and documentary film that has been titled Fired. It's been seen everywhere from the Showtime Network to the Department of Labor on Capitol Hill. She's a regular commentator on NPR and a humor columnist for The Nation magazine, and she's done a lot of acting. Her roles on Seinfeld, Boston Legal, The Cleaner, The Shaggy Dog, Melvin Goes to Dinner. She is the mom of a son who I hope by now is a professional baseball player on his way to doing so because of all the time that has been spent pursuing that. I know that well. She is one of our guests. And Annabelle, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Jeff Kahn is also with us. This is her husband. He is also a writer and a performer. He began his career on MTV's Remote Control and The Ben Stiller Show. He won an Emmy for writing on Fox's The Ben Stiller Show. He's written for many other shows and done television pilots, in particular a spinoff of All American Girl. He can be seen on HBO reruns of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Entourage, and The Larry Sanders Show, and a number of films. And Jeff, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, yeah. I'm right here. I'm here every Wednesday.
You're here every Wednesday. You're where every Wednesday? You mean alive?
At this radio station.
We were so excited because Jeff went to Wisconsin to college.
Madison.
To do this interview that we actually showed up in the wrong week. We came last week as well. But that's very typical of our marriage. We just get everything wrong.
Well, we woke up at 5:30 to get here on time. And Annabelle had the date wrong.
I had the date wrong.
She had the date wrong.
I've gotten so many things wrong in our marriage. This is just adding to the list.
Oh,
it's so typical.
And I dragged you along with me. That's like our marriage. I dragged you along down the wrong path.
So what happens when you get it wrong? Do you fight about it and then you're done with it, or do you hold grudges?
Well, I was so tired that it happened
okay.
So frequently.
Holding a grudge is one of our hobbies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's one of the few things we do together. Some people take square dancing. We hold grudges.
We can really hold a grudge.
Oh, we can. For years. Yeah, you really tend
decades
to it like a
grudges.
Garden,
yeah.
Making it grow.
Grudge gardens.
Bigger grudge gardens.
Yeah. we were overflowing. We have an overflowing grudge garden that we water and care for. If we care for other things as much as grudges, we would be much happier, well-adjusted people.
This is what marriage is about. This is one of the reasons why we wrote the book, why we turned into a play, was we just got tired of, there's a lot of books out there and movies.
And you know what? I'm going to call my next book Grudge Garden.
Grudge Garden.
That's good. I like it.
Okay. So the thing is, there's all this entertainment out there about how the goal is to get married, that when you get married, it's the end of all your problems. But Jeff and I are here to say, after 16 years of marriage, getting married is the beginning,
the beginning of your problems. Every movie ends at the wedding. Like, that's it. It's all going to be good from here. And that's the exact opposite of reality. Like,
it's true.
It's not the end point. It's the
beginning. But I actually do think, Kathleen, that it really has to do with the expectations people have of this institution. If you just lower your expectations, you do much better. Like, instead of happily ever after, if you just go for ever after, any happily you get is like, woohoo, score.
It's interesting to be at the beginning of the book and the end of the book, because you start where you have this crush on her and you think right off the bat you're going to marry this woman, and now you're thinking about, long-term care insurance and all of these things. Life changes,
really romantic,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, well, And part of, because I'm a romantic and I'm kind of the romantic in the marriage still to this day. I'm the one who like remembers birthdays and anniversaries.
I don't remember our anniversary. No. I actually have our wedding invitation. It's framed and it's hanging on the kitchen wall, not just out of sentimental reasons, but it reminds me of what day it was. I just can't remember
can't
that
get
stuff.
The day right. She still can't get the day right.
I'm not. I know it's coming up. It's coming up, and I, you know, it's wedding season.
She's either going to be a week early or a week late for it.
Whatever.
Well, you've had a lot of you've had a lot of years to get it right, haven't you, Annabelle? You
could. I have, and I get it wrong. I just it's a tradition. If I got it right, it would be like, oh,
there's things
here?
That you just don't get. You don't.
I know.
Our son Ezra is 14 now. He plays baseball for the last decade, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Whatever.
He has baseball practice. She cannot remember that it's Tuesdays and Thursdays.
We're laughing about this, but, I don't.
Or you can't remember
I've outsourced my memory to my BlackBerry.
Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard. Living here since 1831 in L.A., she can't remember Hollywood and Sunset.
This is actually one of the things we do right is that you find—
We get things wrong.
That's
what we do right.
But here's the thing. I'm a big picture person. You're a detail person. So, for instance, when the earthquake hits L.A., I've got water, food, sneakers in all these, but day to day, where are we going today? I don't know. The wrong place. Jeff is good at that. So it balances each other out. And I think most people find that that's really, if there's anything we've learned about marriage, you can't do it all. You just can't. So, it's if you can find someone who, first of all, has a sense of humor that you have.
Yes.
This is going to be better than we flunked out of every therapy. We really did. We're not good at that. We're much better. We think it's actually better to invest in vacations than therapy.
I'm with you. Good vacations and a sense of humor. Baseball, because you have some very funny chapters about how, of course, your son's going to be the next pitcher or whatever for the Milwaukee Brewers or whatever the team happens to be.
Who's your MVP? Your
MVP? Ryan Braun. He can take Ryan Braun's place when he gets old enough.
Sure.
But what is this thing with guys and coaches and getting their sons, particularly, it's daughters too, into all these sporting events?
Well, you see, I thought I married a comedy writer. I thought I married this comedy writer named Jeff Kahn. I didn't realize he had an alter ego, Coach Kahn.
Right.
I first married him, he was like, oh, I just watched playoffs on TV. I didn't know every sport had a playoff. I mean, if javelin throw had playoffs, he watches anything that's sports. And he decided very early on, like our son was about maybe 2 years old, and he threw a ball into the bushes, I believe. And that's when this dream was born. Jeff turned to me. He threw one ball, and Jeff said, if he wants to be a baseball player, you're not going to stop him. I'm like, what just happened? I had no idea. I thought it was like throwing a ball. And that began this whole thing. And I always say that Jeff has dragged our family like we were going from shtetl to shtetl in Russia, from team to team. There was a team that wasn't competitive enough, that there was a team that was too competitive. There was a team that had the old uniforms, team had the new uniforms. Jeff was the coach. He actually barred a kid from playing a game one day, and they were about, I think, six, for not wearing his hat. He's so serious.
Jeff, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, what is this all about?
I disagree with... I don't know what memory she's... she's right. Like in her own memory bank.
No, it's not.
She's just like wandering around that grudge garden,
It is not
true. You're jumping around. You're barefooting in the grudge garden.
See, here's the truth, is that we have different parenting styles, right? Baseball?
He was baseball. Really coordinated. And what happened was
a 2 year old.
Yeah. True. Well, what happened was is that he was on his first baseball team and he was five and he didn't want to play right away. And then he ran in and the coach put him on put him as the pitcher. And he was really, really good. And the coach said, here, he's our best player. And I thought, all right. Yeah, let's just run with that.
Yeah, okay. See, we're on different things, though. But so Jeff gets these ideas. This is where we change. Jeff just gets these ideas of this the whole baseball career.
We've gone to Cooperstown and played. We've gone to Vegas. We've gone all over the country to play baseball.
He's living. This is like Jeff is, I am living by the guys living vicariously.
That's
their
right.
Sons.
We are.
True.
And Annabelle, and during all these miles, these thousands of miles that I've logged, Annabelle's been at home.
That is true. I just, you know what? Baseball, can't they change it to 5 innings? I mean, it's a little long.
She gets so, she goes through a game, she gets so bored that she starts doing exercises in front of all the other parents who look at me and go, what is wrong with your wife?
Know,
she starts doing yoga at a baseball game.
It's true. It, you know, I think actually it's a good thing, though. I am modeling that even if you're in the stands, you should also be exercising, not just eating peanuts. Although I do like the snacks at the baseball game, so it's kind of
My first game, and my husband is a baseball reporter. He's a columnist, Jeff.
Oh, my God.
My first game, you'll have to meet him, Jeff. It'll make your day. Then you guys can talk baseball all the time. I brought a book. I will never in my life bring a book to a baseball game again. I've never, ever lived it down. So a book is worse than yoga.
Yeah. You know, we do. I want to say one thing
about this is at her son's game. He's playing. She's not paying. She's not even paying attention to what he's doing. He'll look at me and go, why is she even here?
You know, because when he's up on bat, I
when he's up on bat.
I don't.
Okay.
I just don't
she once said she once said to a kid who was playing, hang on, little kitty.
I said kittens. Hang on, little kittens.
And she was barred from that game.
I was barred from that game. But at one point, Jeff used to get so incensed during the games, he was exiled into the outfield.
Yeah, I exiled myself.
Because he just was yelling so much. And
he was on his team.
He's one of those parents. Ooh.
I wasn't yelling
he's
at
He's not yelling at other parents. He's just yelling. I don't even know what he's yelling about.
I cheer loud.
He cheers loud. But so the other parents and I, we'd see him in the outfield by the fence. And it was fantastic. It was very entertaining to watch him rant, and no one could hear him. It was like
right, because I'm so
movie,
far away.
Which is very fashionable.
On the other hand, you did make your son go to a cotillion, Annabelle.
I did.
A disaster.
You know what?
Such a disaster. She made him go.
Okay.
See, there's the story. She's like, you weren't... All right, go
ahead. Here it is. See, we are in different... I'm on the 30-year plan, right? I expect that whatever I'm doing as a parent will hopefully work out in 30 years. My son will say, oh my God, that was so great. My mother had me go to cotillion. I can
Never
do the foxtrot. Jeff is on the 30-minute plan. If it doesn't work out in 30 minutes, anything he tries as a parent, he's not, you know what,
30-second plan. I'm on the 30-second plan.
30-year, 30-second plan. So, okay, here was one of those things. Like, you know, Jeff always finds a way to get around these ideas. I think kids need rules and structures. So I suggest we have a no TV watching on a school night policy. It seems so simple.
I like that.
So easy, right? Yeah. I come home and Jeff and our son Ezra are watching the baseball game. I said, didn't we have an agreement there'd be no TV on a school night? He said, TV? Sports.
Sports is not TV. Okay, when you're watching with your son, sports is not TV.
And
that's everybody knows that.
I come home one night and they're watching. Yes. They're watching House. The House. I said, how is House not TV?
You know, we're watching House because House is like, it's a medical drama. He's learning something about medicine. And, you know, who knows? He could be a doctor someday. And House was his inspiration. So I didn't find that. Mm-hmm. See, what?
Then I come home and they're watching Family Guy. I'm like, Family Guy?
Family Guy's just, it's really funny. And you just can't, it's just really, really funny.
Anything I try is just thwarted in this household.
How about when you come home and they're playing video games.
We don't play.
That's one thing I have been successful about.
That's because
we don't play video games.
Neither one of us really like video games. I'm not a video game person.
No, that's because we're not good with installing things. We could never figure out how to get that on TV. Never.
Yeah.
We'd still be doing that right now. We'd miss this interview. We'd be like, "How do you plug the thing in?" We'd never get it.
Yeah, you don't know the DVR. You couldn't.
My brain is like a DVR. I have selectively deleted things that I don't like about our marriage, which is actually a really good thing too.
I wish you'd delete some more.
I'm working on it. So, you know, so what do you have to do if you want to stay married for a long time? Which, by the way, is so popular now.
Excuse me. I would like to go back to
what
this
do you
parent.
Go back to?
Because I just want to clarify this 30-year, 30-second plan.
Oh, okay.
Is that what Annabelle is that she is the sheriff of Knowingham because she is, she knows everything. And she loves to say, no, you can't do this, and no, you can't do that. So she's the sheriff of Knowingham, and I am Sir Flexalot because I am flexible,
Jeff,
and I go with the flow.
Jeff thinks he's like the Carnival Cruise director of fun. I think that, you know, we just have different ideas about it. But that, listen, that really is the premise of the book. You know, the book is a he said, she said.
Right.
Because we just thought we really needed a chance to see, to show people that even though you're married, there's this idea that people become one unit. You don't.
No,
I mean,
you
this
don't.
This is our experience.
No, you don't.
So we wanted to really give this thing that we realize that two people could be in the same place at the same time, even the same marriage, but be having completely different experience. You know,
I disagree.
So, thank you. You see things so differently than I see things. And so we did it as a he said, she said. And then we adapted it into a play. And I have to say, it's been really fun to see other actors play us. And
fun. It's not just fun. It's a relief.
It is great. It's
like, and we're gonna play a little bit. Now, this is just a very brief clip from the play, which will, by the way, be in Milwaukee tomorrow at the Marcus Center. This is comedians and actors, the married couple, as you can tell, Annabelle Gurwitch and Jeff Kahn, our guests. Their book is You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up, A Love Story. This is, they were talking about their son. This is the time when Ezra was born, and we'll play a clip from that show. This hour of the program, we're talking with two very funny people. They're actors and comedians and writers, and they are authors of You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up, A Love Story. Annabelle Gurwitch and Jeff Kahn are our guests. Their play is going to be in Milwaukee at the Marcus Center starting tomorrow. And here's the clip I was telling you about of having the baby.
The night comes when the contractions break through the medication, and when I tell Jeff it's time, he asks if I can hold it in.
I had a pilot script due the next day. So,
wait, anyone who's ever had a baby knows you can't just hold a baby in like the gas I was also holding in at the time.
Our guests are joining us in studio, somewhere other studio. It's very funny, but it turns out to be a fairly serious part of the book as well, and you really need humor to get through some of this. Your son was born with serious birth defects, and both of you had to deal with surgeries and the incredible emotions that accompany something like that, didn't you?
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah,
you know,
we did. The worst people to have to go through that. It's like, you know, they say the universe doesn't give you anything that you can't handle, but they sure did.
Mm-hmm. It did. You know, there's always defining moments in marriages, you know, and I think this is one of the truths about life is if it doesn't happen, you know, sooner it happens later, just somehow or another, you know, you have a real trial to go through. And we had it pretty early. Now, we did not include that. We specifically did not include
play.
That
in the
play.
Right. It's in the
because,
book.
Because, you know what, we had this idea for the play that it would be like watching worst case scenario marriage, you know, and you people can go there and they laugh at us, they laugh with us, but you know, it was like this idea that they laughed at us, you know, it's the idea that you just have a chance to see the real kinds of mistakes you make on there and laugh about it, because you just don't, we weren't seeing that out there in plays. We weren't seeing that chance to go, and people come to see the play who are married or thinking about getting married, or, you know, just newlyweds or been married a long time, and they're nodding their heads and they're going, oh my God, you do that or you do that. And for instance, one of the scenes in the play is about how hard it is to get to have sex after you've had a kid. I mean, it's like
after you've had a kid.
It's like an obstacle course.
Yeah, she's been saying that, you know, since he was born. It's like, even in the play, it's like 7 years. So you didn't just have the kid.
Well, I think if you've had a kid and you're a woman, you can say that for the rest of your life. That's an excuse you can use for the rest of your life because it impacts you. But, you know, what we're writing about really is from the perspective of being we're two working people family. And it is just so hard. I think so many people, we find ourselves in this situation where you think you can have it all, but you can't. You can do it all and not very well, which is what we're doing, trying to juggle this this thing. You know, I thought we'd be like Lewis and Clark, you know, setting out to find a way to, you know, this new paradigm of marriage. But we're more like the Donner Party.
But Ezra's doing fine that, now. I just wanted
yes,
to say, yeah,
he is
that's
doing
good.
Fine. He's
yeah,
14
it's absolutely,
now.
You know, it was a
great.
Shocking. It was you know, he was born, and it was the most shocking moment of my life to be confronted with medical problems for your kid. I mean, just what to expect when you're expecting was not in that.
Yes, exactly.
And we didn't know. So it was very shocking, and it was very overwhelming. And it's such a perfect thing for a frustrated, hot-tempered, not patient person like myself to go through.
Just to say, yeah, he was born with this. It's a constellation of birth defects. It's called Vactorol is the acronym for it, and he had to have over a series of years surgeries to.
We had the surgery the day he was born. He had a very major surgery.
And you know, it is one of those things. I mean, this is life. You know, you cannot escape. You know, pain, suffering, and trials. And that is, I think that is, I mean, and when we write about this in the book, I do write about it with humor, which was shocking for some people. But that is how you have to cope. I mean, I just remember thinking, I mean, it's just, this is the kind of crazy thoughts you have. When he was born, he immediately went into surgery, and he was in the NICU. And people worry, this sounds terrible. Maybe worry about, like, their babies being taken from the hospital. But I'm like, nobody's going to steal a baby that has no anus. Aww. Yay, we're good.
I was crying. I just started crying this for the moment he was born and then all the news started coming in about this is wrong and that is wrong and I just started crying. I couldn't stop crying, and a hospital administrator came over to me and she said, Mr. Gerwich,
which is wrong, he's Mr. Kong.
Yeah, Mr. Gerwich, if you can't stop crying, you're gonna have to leave the hospital. You're really bothering everybody.
You're bumming everybody out. Excuse me, yeah. My kid is in surgery. You're bumming people out. You know, it's just you find yourself in these crazy situations. And you know, I mean, we've been married now for almost how many years?
3,000
years.
Just about 3,000.
You know, I do think, you know, we flunked out of therapy. We really failed. We used therapy as a
combat sport.
Form as a combat sport. It's true, you know. But you
therapy
know, you,
makes the grudge garden actually look like a pleasant place.
You know, but this is where, you know, the conventional wisdom, I think, gets thrown out. So, for instance, like if you read any of those books about marriage and how to make your marriage work, it always says increase intimacy. I say give me a little mystery. If you want your marriage to last, you know, it's really good to cultivate your other interests to actually keep a little mystery going.
So I've started dating again.
Oh, really? And,
well, you've been doing...
Don't ask, don't tell.
No, you've been doing Facebook a little bit with some old girlfriends, I understand.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
I have no idea because we're not friends on Facebook.
She's unfriended me and then she blocked me.
You blocked him?
She blocked me.
Our marriage ends in cyberspace. I just, you know, it's we work.
Well,
together.
First you wanted access to it. You wanted to be on my Facebook.
I went the wrong way.
I had to put pictures of her on, and I was like, it's Facebook. It's my face. It's my book. You know, just give me this. You know, let me live here in this little illusion, diluted, cyberspace reality.
I recommend it. You know, I don't want to know what Jeff is doing all day. If I actually know how much time he's spending on Facebook, it would freak me out. So, you know, this is the thing. Less intimacy, more mystery. That's one of those things that I really recommend. It's funny because, you know, working together on the book and then the play, it brought us, you know, spending a lot more time together than I prefer. I really like having separate things we do in our life. And right when we finished the book, I actually read an interview with someone I admire so much, and that's Rosalind Carter, former President Jimmy Carter's wife. And she said in an interview, she said, here's one thing I've learned in life. Don't ever write a book with your spouse. And I said that to Jeff, and he's like, 2 years too late.
Yeah.
Damn, why do we hear that so late?
The book is You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up, A Love Story, Annabelle Gurwitch and Jeff Kahn, and they are our guests. There's a play with actors. They've done this show, the play, together, but tomorrow at the Marcus Center, and it is sponsored by Wisconsin Public Radio, actors will be playing their story. in the play form of the book, which is what we're talking about, which starts with Jeff knowing the first time he saw Annabelle that this is the woman for him. It took a long time for them to get married, and then the birth of their child, and it's very funny, as you can tell, because they're quite funny. If you'd like to join the conversation, feel free to do so. Our number is 800-486-8655. I guess the question for you is, how do you keep a marriage going for a long period of time? What's the crucial element? Is it a sense of humor, or are there other things that are equally as important? I love to hear, and I frequently ask couples the story. And let's start with you, Jeff, because you saw her and you said, that's the woman for me.
I know. If I could just go back in time and beat myself up.
it only took me about 5 years to be convinced of that. But yeah. That's one of what we call like a tomato story, where you just see things. You're
completely
in the same
different place,
but Jeff thought it was super romantic.
Well, it was not just that. It was like almost like a transcendent moment for me. I mean, there's absolute clarity of to walk in and look
at
somebody. And she flirted with me the whole party, though.
I flirted with everybody that whole
time. Yeah. Not everybody sat next to you. Not everybody got a napkin at the end of the party with her name, her number, her address. She put her address on there. I was just like, oh my God, this is it. I mean, she's given me everything. And just as she was leaving, as she got into her car, she said, you should give me a call this week because I have some free time because my husband is off in Chicago.
My husband.
I did.
Yeah.
I was married at the time. Yeah. Jeff was just like a nice guy I sat next to. Let me just make this clear. So Jeff saves this napkin for how many years was it? 5 years.
5 years it took us to.
So I was going to surprise him. You know, I knew he had this napkin. He had it framed. He kept it on his desk. And I wanted to surprise him when we got married.
No, it wasn't framed. In my desk.
I was going to have it framed for our wedding. Right. So I get the napkin out of his desk. I turn it over. There is another girl's number on the back of that napkin. It's true. I have the proof. So all this talk about romance and it was meant to be. He also took someone else's number that night.
You know what? 5 years is a very long time to carry a cocktail napkin in your pocket. You know, you're going to end up with somebody.
How did that napkin last? You can still see the ink. Did you wash your jacket in 5 years? I mean, really think about it. It's not a good story.
But I love the story that you knew she was the one. I love that. You know, my mother always used to say that. You'll know it when you meet him. You'll know it.
Yeah.
How did you know?
I just had this moment of clarity, and I was like, there she is. And it was
wine
just,
might have been involved.
No, it was way before the wine started flowing.
I don't think there is a wine. I think there's many ones. Jeff and I, we see this differently. I mean, it's my second marriage, so there had to have been the one twice at least. So.
She's different. She's not romantic, so she doesn't look at life that way. But
Jeff is.
And I was so sure. And then the immediate sort of connection of the verbal sparring, the liking the same things. It's like it was super important to me. It got me 5 years of pursuing her.
You know, but this is one of those things too about, you know, what is it that really makes a marriage? And part of that really is like, Jeff, I say I'm not romantic, but that's really, the truth is, I don't remember that stuff, but I love that Jeff does.
Aww.
Jeff does the anniversaries. He does every year. He gives me, this is a really crazy thing. Every year, Jeff gives me a surprise party on my birthday, and every year I'm surprised because I just don't think about these things, and I cannot believe he's going to surprise me yet one more year.
Yeah, but that's the end.
It's just crazy.
I think
did we blow it out this year?
Yeah, I think we blew it out this year.
But okay, so Jeff does the romance, and if Jeff did our finances, we'd be living in a shoebox.
Yeah.
So I do that stuff. We've just delegated.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Let's go to some phone calls for you. John in Waukesha. Hi, John.
Hi. I just have to say I find this hilarious, and I want to try to make the appearance tomorrow. It sounds awesome.
Oh, great.
Are you married, John?
Yes, I am. And my question for you is, well, at least two parts. The first part is obviously what you're doing today sounds a little like a shtick. I mean, my question is, how much are you kind of adding on to it a little bit, or are you guys really this funny, or you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
I'm actually funnier.
This is
I'm actually funnier
This is our coping mechanism. Let me just say, we've been doing this thing that is, this is really, truly crazy. I shouldn't even admit this, right? So we write each other little notes because, you know, when you live with someone for such a long time, it can drive you crazy. I mean, it drives me insane. Things that Jeff does in the kitchen, things that I do in the kitchen drives him crazy.
It drives you crazy that I clean the kitchen.
But our coping mechanism is our sense of humor. So we have this, this is so embarrassing. We have this pitcher of water. And every time I leave it on the counter, out of the refrigerator, there'll be a note on top from Jeff saying, "Hi, it's pitchy here. I'm really warm. Put me back in the refrigerator." And then I'll put a note that will say, "I long to roam the earth. I'm claustrophobic and I need
I just got tired of putting that picture back every single day. So I just gave it a personality.
See, it became a personality, and then I have to count that. But it's our coping mechanism. Well, you know, this is what we really live like. I don't know, maybe it sounds really crazy.
I'm very funny, though. I mean, I'm a very funny person, and John should know that.
If you're not laughing, you're crying in a marriage, or you get angry.
Or screaming,
and you want to avoid that at all costs. And the best thing to do is to find a way that works for you. Maybe writing insane little scribbled notes is not the thing everyone wants to do, but how do you cope? You know, and we can't afford two houses. We can't even afford two bathrooms. We share a bathroom. This is not good for a marriage, so you've got to have a sense of humor.
Thank you, John. Jack in Kenosha, hi.
I guess I'm going to ask the obvious or beg the question, but one of the things that I've noted in my friends who I think have really great marriages is not only love and communication and all that stuff, but they really know how to have fun together. And how important for you is that?
Okay, I want to just say, Jeff said something last year that is so true. You know, certain kinds of fun can be expensive, like vacations. He said, we don't take vacations anymore. We take naps. That's all we can afford. And that is fun for us.
I love naps. It's one of our favorite things to do together.
And it's cheap. We can take naps. You know, performing together count as a date night because, again, it's a cheap way for us to be together. But we do have fun that way. You have to have time for each other, even if it's napping time. And that to us is, you know, we do, like, listen, like everybody, we really cut back on our expenses. So we watch movies together at home. We will have glasses of wine. We really do try to have fun. I think it is really essential. But again, that goes with the sense of humor. I think you just have to have a sense of humor what we share.
I think John was thinking that we were scripting this.
Oh, my God.
You're not scripting it.
No, this is how we live.
It's crazy. Didn't he feel like you're shticking? He said he was shticking.
John should know that I
went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison and formed an improv group there.
He would never put shtick into Wisconsin, maybe other states.
No, but I was. I'm an improviser. That's my thing.
And yeah. But fun, you know, I think a marriage, if you lose the fun, if you lose a sense of humor, that is the glue that you're really in trouble with.
Unless you're really, really wealthy,
yeah. You know.
Then there's a lot of other glue.
I have a saying about money, you know, which is money and sex, which sometimes go together. It's talking about money before you have sex is a turnoff.
It's a turnoff, yeah.
If you don't have money, talking about money before you have sex when you have money is a turn on. we haven't had that conversation in years. Yeah. But, you know.
Let's talk a little bit more about Madison because people in Madison are listening to you right now. Is that where you learned to be funny, Jeff? Madison?
Well, I didn't. You know, you don't really learn to be funny, but
you've always been funny.
Well, I've been a little funny.
Maybe
yes.
When you put on the cheese head. We have a cheese head at home. I just want to mention that.
I'm obsessed with Wisconsin.
Here's
the other thing. There's two things that I knew in my life that I knew. One was that I was going to go to the University of Wisconsin. I knew that from the time I was 13 years old. And the other one was that I was going to be married to Annabelle.
That's so crazy.
Everybody who knew me growing up in Albany, New York.
Our son wears a Badger shirt. Yeah. By the way, we just got a new one.
And we watch all the football games. And we just watched Wisconsin in March Madness. And, you know, and I get all emotional about it. I was a mess after the Rhodes Bowl.
He was
just a mess.
That was not funny. I left the house. I really, yeah. You know, this is one of the things I think too. You have to have an exit strategy, and I don't mean an exit strategy like divorce
for the marriage.
What is an exit strategy? Yeah. Just to cope. Like I do think it's really important. And actually, you know, if you read like statistics these days and sort of theories about marriage, they do say it's really important to develop, you know, your own interests. So you keep bringing new things to the marriage. So you keep
what
have is something
it to
new.
Do with the Rose Bowl? Why are you
having nothing at all?
I'm talking about the Rose Bowl.
Because I'm
like,
not interested
just,
in sports.
You're just going
like
off
that.
In some sort of like Phil's. I don't know what she's talking
how
about.
How did you know you wanted to go to University of Wisconsin? Just, what was I, that that I don't remember?
I read all – growing up, I had the World Book Encyclopedia. Uh-huh. And all I could do in Albany was dream about getting out of Albany. So I was plotting my escape by going to college. And I read – you know, I looked at all the colleges. And I got to W, and I just liked Wisconsin. It just seemed like a great place to go, and I wanted to go to a big Midwestern.
Really good. You
big
you
Ten
had a
school.
Great group there. Joan Cusack was in your group in Madison.
She was my roommate.
She was your roommate.
So
yeah.
the improv group
really?
Was really yes.
Mm-hmm.
The improv group was really talented group of people. It was called the Arc Improvisational Theater, and Joan Cusack was in it, and Eric Simonson,
who just wrote the new play about Magic
Johnson
and Larry Bird on Broadway.
He wrote Lombardi
on Broadway,
oh, right.
also.
Right.
Yeah,
and of course now all my best friends, they're all from Milwaukee.
And that's one of the things you love about him is that he has a loyal group of friends. That says something about somebody,
you
right,
know,
Annabeth?
That'll tell you something. You know, it did take Jeff 5 years to win me over, but the thing that really sealed the deal was we were dating, and Jeff had invited his core group of guys, they're all Madison guys that he went to college with, over, and I was just like, I think I was in the kitchen. I just remember looking out. You guys were on the patio having beer, and I think a lot of cheese was eaten that night, and I just saw him surrounded by these friends, and I wanted to be in that group.
Aww.
I loved his friends. I loved that they loved him, and I wanted him to love me like he loved them. I wanted them to love me. It was just one of those things where I just realized that's a really good thing to, you know, I don't always give dating advice, but I really think it's important to see like who the person's friends are, what that quality of friendship is. That really tells you a lot about people.
Tony is next in Madison. Hi, Tony.
Yay.
Hi, how are you guys? Thanks for being on. You guys
hey,
are pretty
Tony.
Funny. The question, I've got a couple of things. First, I'm kind of saddened and envious. You're living my life, and I didn't get to write about it. To add to that, you know, when you get into those little arguments over things like pomelos, how do you solve them? Because my wife and I, we're having, you know, our arguments can go 10 years.
Oh, no.
Oh, easily,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We call that the onion.
The onion
the
just,
onion is just
you
like
peel
when
it back
start,
a
no,
layer.
Wait, no, you start, it starts with like a little fight about like, why don't you, can't you buy an avocado that's not already ripened to the point where it's unedible? And then suddenly you're fighting about stuff that happened, you know, 15 years ago.
Yes, layer after layer peels
it,
and you're
and
just
all,
nothing
all you
left.
Have left is nothing but
tears.
Tears,
yeah. But, you know, the truth is, I mean, I don't follow this advice all the time, but I'm really learning after so many years, you really do have to, I don't want to say pick your battles, you have to learn to let things go. And if I can only take my advice all the time, because there are things I've let go that you have no idea I've let go of now, because I've let go of them. I don't say them anymore. There's no winning. You cannot win. It's like there's that saying, would you rather be happy or would you rather be right? I would rather be right because being right makes me happy.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate because for her to be right and happy, I have to be wrong and sad.
Yeah, and that doesn't do anything for you. So, you know, give it up, Tony. Just really.
What was the fight that he said?
Give it
what
up.
Did he say?
They were having a fight
about what?
Pomelos?
Pomelos?
Pomelos, yeah.
Yes.
What's that?
A pomelo?
What is a pomelo, Tony? Oh, Tony is gone.
Okay, let me just say, a pomelo could be anything from the way you make your bed to
is that what it means?
To how often you have sex. I don't even know what pomelo is, but really everything is the same
in
a marriage.
Really? Because I thought it was like some sort of a fruit that I never heard of.
Pomelo.
Yeah.
I thought it was some kind of seduction technique. I'm going to do the pomelo on you.
I thought like,
well,
I'll
see,
have
it's
a
all
pomelo
the same
juice.
Thing because, you know, you just have to give up. If you care about
Tony thought we were
the
pretty
relationship,
funny, by the way.
Pretty funny.
But we've had a tough crowd here.
It's a tough crowd. Madison. Yeah. But you know what? Is you have to learn to give things up because that is the only way you can be happy. If that's what you want, unless you want to suffer,
you have to give up whatever you've given up.
You know, I was just thinking, it's so funny though that the statistics on marriage are really that marriage is falling out of favor in the United States.
I know.
But, you know, things always turn around. So I was thinking, Kathleen, that soon marriage is going to be so unpopular, like, kids will want to do it. Like, young people are like, hey, let's rebel. Let's get married.
Yeah. It'll go the other way.
More phone calls in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. Our guests are Annabelle Gurwitch and Jeff Kahn. Their book is You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up, A Love Story. And the book has become a play, which they wrote. And sometimes they perform it. The play will be at the Marcus Center here in Milwaukee opening tomorrow with actors playing this married couple. You can go to marcuscenter.org for more information. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of the sponsors of the event. So we're talking about marriage this hour, and obviously a humorous take on marriage. Our number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, and we'll play another clip from the show coming up in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm at my friend Nina's house in New York, and she turns to me and she says, Jeff friended me on Facebook. Now, I actually had never been on Facebook, and she shows me the picture, and it's so cute. There's a picture of Jeff and our son Ezra, and they have their arms around each other at a baseball game. And then there's another picture of Jeff and Ezra, and they're at Yankee Stadium. And there's another picture of Jeff and Ezra, and they're in some indeterminate place, but looking like a really great, happy family. And then it occurs to me, where am I? There's not a single picture of me on his Facebook site. It's like, where is the mother? I don't know. Perhaps she died of terrible disease. Perhaps he's divorced. Jeff is out there in cyberspace with our son. Like, I'm like, what is this? Is this J-Date or is this Facebook? So I pick up the phone and I call Jeff and I said, if you don't put a picture of me on your Facebook site, I'm divorcing you.
And I said, it's going to be that easy?
Oh, that's a funny bit. That's funny. Let's go to Maria in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Maria.
Chippewa.
Chippewa.
Hi, Maria.
Yes.
Go ahead, Maria.
Okay.
You're on the air, Maria.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Maria.
Hi.
I'm listening to your program, and I heard about that. Yes. Hello?
Yeah, we're here, Maria. Just talk.
Okay. Hello? Yeah, I just want to clarify regarding that pomelo.
Oh, good.
It's a citrus fruit.
Oh, great.
It's a citrus.
It's much bigger than grapefruit and a little bit tart.
I love that a married couple is fighting about a citrus fruit.
So I was right. It is a fruit. I was right. I was right again. This is the fourth time in the marriage.
And I thought it was a sexual position I hadn't heard of.
Well,
oh, well.
I'll try the pomelo later then.
Now, what you're going to do, Jeff, is because I've read a good chunk of the book, and I know that you go on these fads when it comes to eating, which would drive me nuts, I think. And so now I think pomelo will be part of your staple.
It will.
It's a crazy thing in our marriage.
I'm going to look for some pomelo.
I have no idea what Jeff... We can't cook together because...
Because you can't cook.
One day he's wheat-free, one day he's gluten-free. I don't cook. I heat. Okay. Yeah. But he's gluten-free. He's wheat-free. He's lactose intolerant. I never know what he's going to be. He's a raw foodie.
And yet I'm the one who buys all the groceries and somehow you eat them.
You buy things that I like too. But yes. Like Jeff went on this fish oil kick for a while and then he had those gels in his pocket. They smelled like a carp for a few months.
Yeah. Well, the thing about fish oil, it's very good for you. Put it in the refrigerator and take it before you go to bed at night because then you don't burp up fish oil.
It is good for you. You know, I wanted to say, okay, here's one thing that we've written
now
about.
Now you're taking fish oil.
This is how marriage works. I made fun of him for a year and now I do it. That is how marriage works.
Right.
But I
want
there's one thing we talk about.
You know
about.
How it works is that I'm right, but I'm right like 5 years later.
Right.
There's like a lag
time. It's true. But okay, here's the thing. We actually, there's a part of the play that talks about this that I actually never heard any other married couple admit, which is that we have Plan Bs. Now, I'm so happy Jeff takes fish oil and he's very very healthy. But if he should happen to pass peacefully in his sleep, I do have other plans. I don't want to divorce him. But
she thinks she's going to die before me.
Of course, I'm going to outlive you. Statistics say women live long. I'm going to outlive you, Jackie.
I'm going to outlive her because I'm more optimistic.
No, you're more optimistic about outliving me, but I'm practical. I know I'm going to outlive you.
I go to spinning twice a week.
I run every night after I don't eat dinner. We actually stayed up all night one night. We went on the web. We were looking at those death clock sites to predict when you're going to die.
Yeah,
and
down to a minute.
This is just
she was just
silly,
after. She was like, what's your plan for the future? And I'm like, I don't, what do you mean? She's like, well, what are we going to do when we're, you know, old? And I'm like, I don't want to even think about this. And she just kept badgering me about it. I'll say the word badger.
Uh-huh.
And I finally said, well, I guess my plan is that, you know, after, you know, I properly mourn your loss, that I will pick up and start dating some crazy Ukrainian model who has a grandfather complex.
And I told him he'd have to earn a lot more money if he wanted to get a model with any kind of complex.
I didn't say she was a supermodel. She could be somebody.
A hand model.
Yeah, she might not even know the language.
You've already met her on Facebook, huh?
He's already met her.
Well.
This is the thing. You know what? Just talking about that, it just makes me laugh. And, you know, that, again, it's like laughter. Humor therapy is cheaper than traditional therapy. And, you know, it's also, it's more fun. When you go to marriage therapy, you know, you've got your tissues, you're in a windowless room with a therapist you're paying a lot of money for. We did the pricing. You just go out to dinner a certain amount of times, you know, a year and have a little bit of wine, that is cheaper than going to marriage therapy and probably more effective.
It's like having a 90-minute long argument in some stranger's living room.
And it tastes better than therapy.
I don't get it. I don't see how it helps.
Let's go to Sherry. Sherry near Madison. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Hey, Sherry.
I'm good. I'm driving to Ann Arbor from Stevens Point, Wisconsin, on my way to pick up my daughter from college, and this is helping my drive go by much quickly. But you guys sound like all of our long married friends. We've been married 30 years, and I totally agree. Humor is what keeps us all together. If we can't laugh, we're not a couple anymore. But and I do have one quick story that's funny from. Speaking about the financial stuff, I'm a CPA, and I married my husband, and I said, I will marry you, but you cannot have anything to do with our personal finances. And one day I was asking him if he wanted to go over our tax return before I filed it, and before he signed it, and he goes, no, just show me how to sign it. I said, no, you should have to get up in case anything happened to me. He goes, if anything happens to you, I'm going to hire an accountant.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I wanted to ask is, like any other long married couple, there's probably been a dark time where you really did consider divorce. And what made you not do that?
Once a day.
You know, no, I think it's a daily choice. It's a choice to stay married. I mean, there's so many ways our lives are interconnected that would make it difficult.
Can't afford a divorce.
We're raising our son together. He's 14.
Right. So,
I think it's a choice because actually I feel like.
When he goes to Madison, maybe we can start thinking about
this
it.
It'd be really serious for a minute. You know.
I'll have to leave the room.
I'm going to be serious for a minute, which is just that I actually feel like it's the harder choice, and I guess I'm Jewish. I like to suffer, but no, it is a hard choice. I really want to. I feel like being married makes me a better person in that I have to really try. It's like looking at a mirror. Sometimes it shows you the worst things about yourself.
I make
so many mistakes in this marriage. I really want. It's a challenge. I want to try to do better, and that's one of the reasons that keeps me in it, because usually what I'm complaining about Jeff is what I don't like about myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a saying, you know, put down the looking glass, pick up the mirror. I'm so guilty of that. And did you follow that, Jeff? It's
no.
Like what I complain about that you
right.
do is what I do.
Right.
So for me, it's a real personal. I look at marriage as a personal challenge. It's like my Everest.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it is.
Thank you, Sherry. That was a romantic response. One more call, about a minute left. Melissa in De Pere. Hi, Melissa.
Hello. I have a family wedding to go to this summer. My children are in the wedding. If I would buy this book, for a wedding gift for the couple. Will I be ousted as an in-law?
No.
Oh, no. People get this book as a wedding gift because it's just funny.
People actually look at us and they say, well, we can't do any worse.
It's true.
So,
you know, it's so funny. This is reminding me of like how your sister's wedding, Jeff, showed me one of my big failures in marriage. I had said, because our son was old enough to go to the wedding. He was about 5 at the time. And I had said, we're going to have no toy guns in this house. I was really like, I would stay up all night taking the little even the Star Wars lightsabers off of their little character figures. Oh, and at Jeff's sister's wedding, our son wore a cowboy outfit, and I refused to buy him like a little pistol, but he made a gun out of Legos. And that was just like, here's how I failed in our marriage right at that wedding.
Yeah. Thank you both so much for being with us. The book is very funny. I'm sure the play is as well. Thank you.
I think it makes a great wedding present.
All right. Annabelle Gurwitch and Jeff Kahn. The book is You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up, a love story. The play opens tomorrow at the Marcus Center in downtown Milwaukee, and you can go to their website, marcuscenter.org, for more information. Thanks to Brett Jaspers for producing this show, and thanks to Brett as well for on-air production here in Milwaukee. Tomorrow, Frank Rich during our 9 o'clock hour.
Tomato.
And you like tomato.
Potato.
Potato.
Tomato.